My name is Dave Martin. I am an ICFRC board member, and I'm your host for today's program. Take these off. This year, we are celebrating ICFRC's 40th anniversary. We have some great plans this year with a total of 4 events devoted to celebrating our supporters, our legacy in the community, and the bright future ahead for internationally focused programming. We hope you will check with our website, sign up for our monthly newsletters, and follow us on social media to learn more about the exciting stuff happening this year and next. ICFRC wants to acknowledge and thank its annual donors, sponsors, and partners for their support. And this list includes the Iowa Arts Council through the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, Humanities Iowa and the National Endowment for the Humanities, the University of Iowa's International Programs, Honors Program, and Public Policy Center, the Stanley UI Foundation Support Organization, Midwest One Bank, Taxes Plus, City Channel 4 for providing online access to ICFRC's programs, along with UI Library Archives, the Iowa City Public Library for our new home, and last but certainly not least, the longstanding support from individuals who have helped our organization grow for 40 years, many who are in the audience today. Thank you. ICFRC has adopted the Native American Land Acknowledgement prepared for the City of Iowa City's Ad Hoc Truth and Reconciliation Commission and Human Rights Commission. ICFRC recognizes that our home community of Iowa City now occupies the homelands of Native American nations to whom we owe our commitment and dedication. The full text of ICFRC's acknowledgement is on our website at icfrc.org. Now I would like to introduce our speaker. Jean Desiree Kwasi is a digital communications professional passionate about using technology to promote positive change. He has a bachelor's degree in English literature and linguistics from the University Alassane Ouattara in Boaké, Ivory Coast, and a professional certification in social media marketing from Kirkwood Community College in the United States. Please join me in welcoming Jean Desiree Kwasi, who will talk about digital democracy and youth empowerment. Okay, it's all yours, Jean Desiree.
Thank you so much. Thank you for hosting me. Thank you to Peter and James. Thank you to everyone joining us on both in person and online. It's a great privilege for me to be right here and talking to you and share with you my new passion about digital democracy. That's the new trend that is going on. So I'm gonna share my screen with you so that you can follow the different steps as we go together. So let's get to the point. Digital democracy and youth empowerment. As you understand, the world is currently moving forward and experiencing new trends, new variation, new motions, new movement. And one of the new ones that is actually catching up our attention is digital platforms and also the mixture of these digital technologies, the digital platforms. How we manage our countries, how we involve communities, how we put in people, individuals, as they express their ideas, their willingness, and any point they want to share in order to move forward the society. So digital democracy comes on scene, and it comes in scene with benefits, challenges, and policy recommendation. I hope you still hear me. And it has a lot of power for the future as a tool and objective. So as I've been already introduced, and I would also to add to the point that I've been working as a person, but the idea of setting up an organization is in the motion and will be officially launched next year, even though it was created in March 2020 when I was still in the United States. This organization is called Be Digitwise. It has the vision of empowering the next generation with digital education and skills they need to thrive in the modern world. So it's going to be an approach with workshop, live session, networking event, and conferences. I'll get to this one at the end of the presentation. What is, firstly, before we get into the power of digital democracy, what is digital democracy? How can we define it? How can we present it? How is it seen in our new generation, in our nowadays activities? So we should understand that digital democracy, or sometimes called e-democracy, equals to the fact that, as I said, we use platforms. So it can be social media, it can be website. As a way we can express our viewpoints, our ideas, our activities, our way we are seeing the communities and how we can definitely improve the process or the policies or the way our different governments are leading the countries. So this digital democracy comes in with two main powers or two main strengths. The number one is that you're going to engage more participation and engagement. You know, even though we understand that it's not accessible to everyone quite now around the globe, internet, but we have discovered that digital platforms have been a great way on how young people have been empowered, on how young people have been informed, how young people have been, you know, inserted in the way that they can actually have a place around the table. I've been privileged to speak in the African Union and also in the European Union Parliament. And I can tell you, without digital platform, it won't be easy for me to have these opportunities. And then having this privilege of sitting down with decision makers and then sharing my ideas, my thoughts, my way of seeing things, and having them being implemented in a way that today we have the Youth Action Plan, for example, for the European Parliament, that is a plan helping young people to have their vision become track. So whatever you put online can be tracked. So it's a way for communities, mainly young people, to say, or to bring back to the memories of those who are decision makers and say, hey, you say that year, we are this year, where are we? Why are we not seeing the result? What is the problem? Why is this thing not being done correctly? Or it can be also a way to praise, you know, the governance and say, hey, you see that in that year, and this year we are seeing it, congratulations. So digital platforms are not just ways to, you know, bring back bad things, but they're also ways to praise and to celebrate those who are doing the work and say, hey, our word or our voices have been heard, and we are making sure that those voices are heard correctly. So as you go through that, we should keep in mind that you also have some barriers, you also have some challenges, and the number one and the biggest one is the access and the divide we have at the level of digital platforms and technologies. The way, for example, I was in the United States in 2019 and 2020, having access to more platforms, more tools, more opportunities are not the same when I came back into Africa. Matter of fact, for example, I use a phone, so I have a Pixel phone, and then the settings, when I left the United States, some settings cannot be, you know, use when I'm in Africa, for example. When I go to Europe, I can still use some apps, for example, YouTube Music. But when I get back to Africa, it can't work. So those digital divides and accessibilities are one of the ways that excluded, you know, young people in expressing their votes or even expressing their ideas and limiting their participations. The second threat that we have in this digital democracy is the spread of misinformation and disinformation. You know, it is said that every 2 hours, one person is facing one misinformation or one disinformation. So it means that in 24 hours, you have been exposed to 12 fake news. That means there is a risk for you to be led into something that you don't have the full control of it. And having abundance of information online is a great way for people to use it, or avatars to use it in a way that they can, you know, invade and inject informations. And then as people get informed, not the correct way and the right way, it limits actually their participation and definitely threaten the democratic process. We have seen that other elections where we saw fake news of events happening that and then when people see that in reactivating them, some attitudes, some behaviors, that definitely will lead to, you know, injuries and wounds that actually we are not the one looking for it. So it's a great tool, but it still have some challenges, and young people are aware of it. And our goal all together is to make that there is that, I won't say, yes, we have this bright vision of having, you know, those things disappearing, but let process with, you know, reducing to the point that it can be actually visible. So youth being those people working on those platforms say, hey, okay, so they now understood the power they have in their hand and say, let's process some activities. So for example, they started with youth-led initiative and activism. That's one of the ways young people can actually be part of the decision-making process. So youth-led initiative and activism, for example, my organization is called Be Digitwise, and I belong to other organizations like Common Future Conversations. And, you know, decision makers are doing every time is that they consider young people just as consultants. So they come to you, they inquire you, they say, okay, we want to do that. We want to have your views. Can you see my screen? Oh, sorry. My screen was not shared, sorry. Can you see it now? Sorry. All right, so you can see my screen now. I was so focused on on sharing the ideas. So young leaders now came together and say, hey, let's move forward and then let us initiate, you know, those movements. Let us be move from the position of consultant and then come to the same seat as shareholders. Because young people may not have money, they may not have the material resources, but they have the information resources. So they can bring to the table and say, this is what we have been going through, and this is what we have been doing. And I want to thank the European Parliament for that, because through one of their programs where we were part active members of writing the Youth Action Plan, we bring to the table the real needs of young people. So this is one of the ways where young people can pave the way as they are making their steps into the social and political transformation. The other way is digital tools for advocacy and social change. So there is a lot of platforms. You can use social media, you can use a website, you can use an app, you can use conferences, online conferences, workshops, stuff like that. Those tools, those platforms are great platforms to raise awareness, and they're great platforms to generate progresses. They should not be taken for granted, because being a young person engaged in the community, I understood early that those platforms are not just for fun or for entertainment. They are platforms for growth. They are platforms for progress. They are platforms for movement. And the third way young people can pave the way is by working together. I used to say that one stone can build a pyramid. So you alone can build something great. You know, you can build something, but to build something great, you need to work together. You need to work alone. So you need to bring all together, come along with your ideas, come together, set it up, and say, hey, This is how we are going to process it, and this is how you want to make it. And then, you know, the boom is done globally. But if you work alone, you want to move your ideas alone, it's going to be difficult for you to leave a legacy. And we should think about legacy and not just instant change. Because instant change, yeah, it's good, but it doesn't tarry. You need to leave a legacy. And this is what young people have started doing by creating organization, creating movements, creating stuff that at the end of the day are leaving a legacy for the next generation. It's very, very important. So policy recommendation for a better future. As we are moving forward, I think it's very important to understand that decision makers, governments, politics should, number one, work on improving digital literacy and education. It's very, very important. In the point that, you know, it helps us I think we were cut. Can you still hear me?
Your screens. Now we do. Okay.
Perfect. Sorry, okay. A network issue. So we should improve digital literacy and education. If you want to navigate in the digital landscape, you have to navigate responsibly. You can't come in and then you do whatever you want. You have to understand how the platforms are built. And this is the starting point. You train them, they understand how platforms work, and then they can have full participation in the democratic process. Except you do that, it's going to be just a chaos. And then at the end of the day, there won't be full participations, and there will still be frustration and breaking up. The second thing to address is privacy and cybersecurity concerns. As we are making platforms accessible, we should also have very intentional practices toward privacy, not allowing private information to be online and not having those exposed, and also develop robust, you know, regulations where platforms are make sure that individuals on the platform are protected, including their data. It can be financial data, it can be personal data, it can be any data, but it has to be robust. We should not just develop a platform because you want to, you know, promote an idea, develop a website, people subscribe, and then bam, 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 you move forward. No, you have to make sure that anybody that comes to the website will not be exposed or will not be violated or will not have their information robbed. So decision makers and with the youth as well, we should have a view about it as we are moving forward in this activation and in this engagement toward communities. So as we are moving forward, we are shaping the future through digital democracy. It is very needful to understand that we are moving forward towards revolution, and we should be positive about it and come with much more inclusive parameters, inclusive input, instead of, you know, having this craziness of saying, yes, you know, when you put something online, you go viral, it's good. But this virality has also some drawbacks, some consequences. So we should, as we young people are trying to expand our scope of work, our scope of action, our scope of engagement, we should have a much more inclusive process or approach as we are doing it, because we are the future, we are the present, and we also are the future. So how can we then, you know, join the digital democracy movement? Number one is to participate in civic discussions. Engage online. When we talk about topics that matter to you, that are very important to you, you should have your say. Don't be silent. It's true that some countries are facing some tracking. You can be arrested, you can be put in jail, you can be, you know, biased about some stuff. But if you have the chance to express your voice or to be heard, then speak. Because as you are doing it, you are shaping the democratic narrative. And, you know, as I mentioned, as we are trying to be active, trying to participate, we should also advocate for digital rights. You know, rights should not be just physical right, inverted commas saying, but we should also have rights online. We should have the right to speak. We should have the right to express our ideas. Liberty should not be just outside in town. It has to be also online, because we want it or we want it not. Digital platforms are actually the second life, because you can, whatever you do, like physically speaking,
we've lost your audio again. Can you hear me? Okay. Now you're back, but we lost your screens again.
Sorry, I had you in and out same time. Here we go.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah. So how are we empowering the next generation? The thing is that we can work on definitely, there are many initiatives that have been launched across the globe. So you can find those initiatives online. Like, for example, My Voice, My Vote. This is the campaign where you understand that your voice matters. So the purpose is to encourage young people to have them involved in politics and participate in elections. Because due to violence and to arrestations and stuff like that, young people are afraid about what maybe are the next person to go into prison. So as we are creating a platform where young people can have their say, the goal is to have those initiatives, for the Code for or where it promotes digital literacy and coding skills, Youth Action Network, Global Youth Forum, Speak Up, Speak Out. Those initiatives have the purpose of training young people and amplifying young voices. And it has to be global. It has to be local, it has to be regional, but it has to be also global. So the goal is to develop initiatives where young people are empowered and then they can have their voices heard at the decision-making table, because that's the end. The goal is to have them be heard at the decision-making table. So social engagement ends for social change. Those platforms are to be unlocking the potential of young people. So I share with you some platforms where you can, you know, go and get information, be involved, be informed, being trained, because the goal is for any young people to be empowered and to be trained and to be equipped with the right information, the right tool, and the right thing for him to have him not being developed personally, but also be developed as a community. Because we are talking about community, not just as a person. So you have change.org, you have Kaiva, you have Donors Choose, you have Crisis Test Line, you have Ushahidi, you have Idealist. Those platforms are many among all, there are just few ones among many other platforms where you can be trained, you can be informed, you can be equipped, and then having your voice be amplified. Because when you are well trained, you are definitely ready to reach out your community and develop them. So the future of digital activisms will be something that we are all excited about it, because more countries, if you take for example countries like Estonia, where they have almost 98% of the country digitalized, where recently I was in Zimbabwe, where I had the privilege to discuss with the minister in charge of the digital transformation in Estonia. And she shared with me the fact that they have a platform where the population can come online and give their comments and recommendations for policies before they are approved in the parliament. This is something awesome. Imagine you have that all over the world, where you don't have to go to, you know, to a certain place, but from your phone, from your laptop, from your iPad, you can tell what is about the future of the community. And then you come online and you have this opportunity. And let me make you sure that those comments from the Estonians are taken into account before approval of those policies. And I think this is great. And when I heard that, I was flabbergasted. I was like, wow, this is something great. Imagine we have that all over the world, having those platforms being implemented. So tools that you can use for change, among many, you have social media, of course. So you have Facebook, you have those platforms, you have Facebook, for example, you have crowdfunding platforms like Kickstarter or GoFundMe, you have petition websites like change.org, you have collaboration tools like Slack, Google Docs, where you can share ideas and you and your crew, your team are working on it and shaping the future and shaping ideas and, you know, trying to make more coordinations among activists and volunteers. I think it's really important for us to work as a team and crew or organizations, because this helps in amplifying our commitment and our voices. Techniques for change. So how can you make your ideas as you are engaged in digital democracy being heard? Number one, you can use digital advocacy. So engage on platforms and then with policymakers and raise awareness and advocate for a specific change that you want, or maybe a policy that you want to address. The goal is to make sure that your idea are heard and then use platforms that where you know that they can reach out to your target or maybe to the audience you want to reach out. Think one is digital storytelling. So personalize your story. For example, this event is an opportunity for me to share my experiences, to share my story. So through those stories,
we've lost your audio again. We can see your slides. Can you hear me at all, Jean?
So they are very close to ideas, they are very close to events, they are very close to challenges. So grassroots movement helps a lot in reaching out to wide audience, to wide communities, and to wide, to really wide people that are affected by the situation. They need really the change. So it's really important to have them implemented, and then it helps a lot in developing the literacy, all globally speaking. So I want to share with you, as we're getting to the end of the presentation, some of my youth engagement. The recent one was in Zimbabwe in April, when I had the privilege to speak at the Transform Africa Summit. It's one of the main digital events where young people and decision makers globally, it can be business leaders and sector leaders, come together to discuss about the future of digital in Africa. And it brings together all young leaders and influencers in their sectors and come together and say, this is what we want, this is what is needed for Africa and how we can move forward. After that, I've been also to the European Parliament twice, where I addressed the digital literacy issue across continents and across the world, where I emphasize on the fact that young people should be trained, should be educated, so that they can have their voice heard at the decision making table. And also train some young people. So I work with people from Zambia, and we led a project that we call the CFC Africa Connect. We put together young people from Cote d'Ivoire and from Zambia, and then all together, through a networking activity, we discussed about major issues across the two continents. So it was about environmental issues and leadership issues, political issues. So we use those platforms where we share our ideas. And then also train some young leaders, you know, in Ivory Coast, and I went also to Ethiopia, where at the end of my trip, for example, in Ethiopia in 2019, we set up a platform they call CFC, Common Future Conversations, where we select young leaders from both continents, Europe and Africa, to come and discuss with decision makers. I had the privilege to speak with His Excellency Alassane Ouattara during one of his interventions in the UK, where we discussed about how we can have young people more engaged in the political process. And at the end of the discussions, and we were happy to see that they launched a program for young people back in Ivory Coast here, where young people are motivated, and then, you know, they have some investment and they have support from the government as they are doing their endeavors on the day-to-day basis. So we come to the end of the presentation. Thank you so much for listening to me. We have been in and out due to network issues, but I do hope that you got some insights and you do have some questions for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'll see if there's some questions here in the audience. I've got a microphone. I'll go around and hang on just a minute.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of the access that people have? I'm not sure he's connected. Okay. Can you talk about the access that there is in your country as well as other places to the technology? I know in the United States we have a problem with more rural areas having access to the technology and access to the computers, and what is the experience you're finding there, and how is that being dealt with?
All right. So we are facing the same challenges back here. It's quite challenging. I've been in the northern part of the country and major regions of Africa where access to internet is quite terrible. The good news is that the government has been trying to work with network companies where they're trying to spread their tools and materials across the country, and providing information and providing access internet and making it more cheaper. This year, we launched some campaign at the beginning of the year, thanks to one of the mayor in town, where he raised the fact that data war, like the cost of data was too much, and it was too much for young people. So this has been a way where we got access to the reduction, you know, the decreasing of the data cost, and allowing young people to have more access to internet. It's still a challenge, true, but the point is we are trying to develop more advocacy about it for young people to have access to those internet and, you know, tools. But it's still a challenge. The divide is quite terrible. But through initiatives and campaigns, we are making sure that young people have access to internet.
So a question came in, Sean Desiree, from one of the online viewers, asking if you would cite an example where digital democracy and youth empowerment resulted in a governmental policy change that affected the lives of people.
Yeah, so we do have a lot of stories to share about it. If you go, for example, let's say there are a big change, so there are big movement. Everything that happened in the Arabic zone was due to digital platforms. We call it the degeneration of the fingers. It was that time where they share information across young people through phones, only phones, and then they run out with the government. So we have seen that in multiple countries in the Arabic zone. If you come down to sub-Saharan African countries, you understand that it has been a way where people having their voice be heard and are trying to be much more important. If you take, for example, my country, so the last election that we had, the regional election that we had, you see much more of the candidates to regions positions or to city positions use digital platforms to vehicle their information. And it was through those platforms that young people decided who to set up as the mayor. For example, now there is a challenge in one of the cities in my country where the mayor won the elections, but they say no, there was some mistakes, so they want to go back to the elections. And the young people are ready to go for it, and they are discussing, we are discussing about it online, and we want to make sure that the right candidate is elected. So I can tell you that it's not yet the boom that we are expecting, but it is in motion, and I'm experiencing it as one of the advocates here in my country, where people are using social media as a way to be heard and to bring the change they want to see.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot about that. Because I teach college students, I think a lot about the ways in which they use technology that simply did not exist even when I was a college student. We didn't have, you know, these powerful little handheld computers, you know, these smartphones. There were no laptops and all the rest of it. And I have to think, from what you've told us, that, you know, digital democracy is so crucial. And I have to think in some ways that it inspires in especially young people a, can you still hear me, Sean Desiree?
Screen's frozen. Can you hear us?
Okay, you're back.
lost you.
I'm thinking that young people are really inspired by having these tools that we didn't used to have. And would you talk a little bit about what you have seen in young people that you have, that you've worked with, that you've trained, that sort of taps into their excitement about having these kinds of tools and how they see the possibilities for their own futures, for advocating for social change, for democracy?
Yeah. So I think like one of the things that really strikes me is like they didn't know that they can use that to be heard, actually. Oh. The point for them is that they thought that it was just a way for them to entertain, like to have fun. Until they discovered that they can say something and it can be resonating in somebody else's country and having that this movement and say, okay, it's working actually. The point is that young people nowadays are now getting the point that they have a powerful tool in hand. And this tool, if it is well learned and well used, can bring the change actually. I've seen a lot of more campaigns, more conferences, more events growing up from like on online, like never. When I started being engaged online, like almost 10 years ago, it wasn't that much. Like we were newbies in that, we were new ones, so we didn't know how to do it until now where we actually having so much more knowledge about it. So the excitement from young people is that they understand that they have a tool and this tool is powerful and they can use it better. Like they don't have to use it just for like entertainment or other stuff, but they can use it to bring a change. And it can start at a very young age. It doesn't have to be old to bring the change. This is something that is very important. They understand now that you don't have to be 40 years old or 50 years old or 70 years old to bring in change. You can start even from 12 or from 10 or from 15, from 18, from 21. You can still bring change and it is important. See, that's what is magic with young people that we have.
Could you talk a little bit about what we're seeing a lot in this country is misinformation and how you're maybe dealing with that?
So misinformation is very viral in Africa. It's one of the other sicknesses we are trying to heal. So what I used to do, for example, during COVID-19, even though I was in the US during that time, I launched a campaign that we called, so it was called Don't Be Silly, like if I want to translate it correctly. So the campaign was to really share information about COVID-19 and saying, trying to make people understand that it's quite viral. The other thing that I do during my trainings is to provide them with platforms and tools and tell them, never share something that you can assume or you don't have full control, almost full control of it. So never share something that you can't say that I'm proud of it online. This is number one thing. The other thing is to understand that whatever you put online will never be lost. So even though you try to delete it, there is somebody somewhere that already got it. And we have seen that a lot. A lot of my friends, some missed to go to prison because of that, because they shared information that they were not true. And then they were caught, even though they deleted the comment, they were caught because they can still track it. So you have to understand that news that comes online has to be double checked. You go on Google, you try to go on some other platforms and understand if this thing is true before you click on the bottom share. Misinformation would be very difficult to be tackled.
Okay, we've lost your audio again. Okay, Jean-Pierre, we're going to go ahead. There we go. Got you back. Jean Desiree. We got you back here. I'm going to go ahead and end it. Thank you very much for your program today and for your remarks. Even with some technical difficulties, we got it done. Thank you again.
Yes.
This was We're going to conclude now. This was ICFRC's 13th and final program of the fall. Our next program and the first of our spring semester lineup features Sarah Terlow speaking about International Rescue Committee opening in Iowa City. Join us for that from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Tuesday, the 23rd of January, here in the public library and online, where Terlow will talk with us about the state of the refugee crisis globally, what prompted the opening of one of the world's foremost refugee resettlement agencies, the International Rescue Committee, right here in Iowa City, as well as the important work they will carry out in our community in the coming months and years. And with that, thank you again for joining us today. We are adjourned. Thank you again, Jean-Pierre.
Desiree.
John, I keep wanting to say John. John Desiree. I keep wanting to say Jean-Pierre.
It's okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. It was really nice to share my ideas and my thoughts with you. And I hope that we all got something to get it back home with us and to share with somebody else.